And welcome back to Ag Day here on 96.9 FM in Wylo. We're also streaming this live on HoosierLandTV.com. Again, I'm Adam Shanks, the Agriculture and Natural Resources Educator here in Clinton County. And I'm joined by Melissa Miller, the Ag and Youth Specialist for Casper Media. I'm pretty excited about this next guest that we have online today. He is doing something that's very unique to the industry, and nobody else is doing this, and it's new. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Troy Feichter. He is with Rogo Ag, and I'd just like Troy to talk a little bit about who you are and what you do out there.
Hey, Adam. Hey, thanks for having me on the show. Right now we are living in the Wilkie, Indiana area, so western Indiana. Our farm is located there in Bluffton, Indiana, actually about 10 miles south of Bluffton and Keystone, between Bluffton and Montpelier. And I took less duties on the farm here for the last couple of years to get this business launched, the soil sampling business launched, and I'm currently moving back to the farm here early this spring to get back more engaged with that as this business keeps ramping up with other good people.
Awesome. Let's start here at the ground level, I guess, if you will. Tell us, so you guys are specializing in soil sampling. So for those that don't understand what that is or why that's important, let's talk about that. What does soil sampling mean to farmers, to gardeners, to lawn people? Why is soil sampling important?
Yeah, to basically boil it down is we're just taking soil samples. You know, you take a soil sample to understand how much fertilizer or lime or soil amendments to put on a specific part of your field or a garden. And the only reason a farmer is going to take more than one soil sample in a field is because different parts of the field are different. So if most farmers, I would say, in the Midwest are going to be taking one soil sample every 2.5 acres. And that means that we believe that with the equipment that we have to spread fertilizer and the economies of scale and the how much typical soils vary, that is the most common, you know, practice to do. And when we take different soil samples at different sites, you know, that means that we can save fertilizer in areas that don't need it and maybe put more fertilizer on in areas that do need it. But we can never, ever do that if we just take one composite sample for the entire field. Otherwise, we'll just create one data point that's just going to force one spreading rate across the entire 50 acres or whatever a farmer is trying to spread fertilizer on. So that's why we take more than one sample in a field for farmers.
So you want to have the data over multiple soil types across the field to do prescription type applications of nutrients. Why is site specific soil testing important? Why do we need to take it from the same spot every time?
Yeah, so it comes back to just basic statistics. So, and this is why I started this business. Again, farmers have been soil sampling for 50, 60 years, and in the past 25 years, really, is whenever we started doing a lot of site-specific soil sampling with the first GPS units that we had. If you're a lab technician, you know, at a university, and you're trying to understand data, and you're running a test, and he looked at a farmer's field and says, okay, let's be statistically secure with how we gather this data. He's going to say, if you're going to take more than one sample in a field, every sample better be exactly the same. And whenever you go back and resample that field, you know, 2 to 4 years later, you better make sure that it's still exactly the same. That way you don't have, you know, multiple factors changing. The only thing you want to change over time, over that 4 year period, is what God created, not what God and Joey created, who was on the end of a hand probe. So, we have seen that if you take a soil sample and you move it 25 feet a different direction, it's going to change nearly 6 to 7%. And if you get a soil sample that has got the wrong depth, the average core depth, you know, how deep you go in the soil, that's also going to change your results, you know, close to 10%. And so if you're really trying to trend your soils over time to see, okay, I sampled a field in 2010, I spread this much fertilizer, let's see how good my plan was, did I actually make a positive effect, you will never be able to measure that unless you just go back to basic statistics and say, all right, let's measure it the exact same way we measured it before. Whether it's the right or wrong method, it's better to do it the same.
So, location-wise, I had thought about that, but I guess I hadn't thought about the depth, making sure you go to the same depth every time. What is the desired depth of taking a soil sample?
Most people are, you know, between 6 to 8 inches. I mean, they're very specific. They say, I want 7 inches, or I want 6 inches. But the market is between 6 to 8 here in the Midwest. But if you're off by 1 inch, Adam, most labs would tell you, you can call A&L Great Lakes in Fort Wayne, you can call SureTech down there in Indianapolis, they'll tell you 1 inch being off on your depth could change your results 10%. So you may show phosphorus levels to be 10% higher if you were at a 6-inch depth as opposed to a 7-inch depth. That's very likely, especially on no-till ground. And with the location accuracy, the issue we've been running into as an industry is, okay, we have good GPS units, and we have RTK, and we can go back to the same spot really, really easily, but the person is still, the way the job's getting done, the person is still driving the four-wheeler or driving the Polaris Ranger or the Gator. And even though he can strap RTK that person's back or on top of that roof, but if he's still driving, hitting the brakes, hitting the gas, you know, and driving 20 mile an hour in the field, looking at a little brown screen, waiting for a dot to line up with a blue dot, he's just generally on average going to be off his target simply because he's a human. And so that's why our robots essentially drive themselves.
That's a great transition. Tell us about Rogo, and how do we meet that need of being more site specific and depth specific, and how you guys meet that need.
Yeah. Well, this is a fun part of the story. We are robotic. People consider ourselves as a robotics company. We have engineers. I'm an engineer, I just want to be clear with everyone, that was just part of the solution. All we care about is solving a real problem, which is creating accurate and dependable soil test results that don't create artificial VRT maps. When I see a VRT map, that's the variable rate map that a Helena or Nutrien or a retailer would come up for a farmer and say, hey, you should spread this much fertilizer in this spot and this much fertilizer in this spot. And I call artificial VRT maps if the soil samples were taken incorrectly and we never know how they were taken incorrectly because we have no accountability or insight, then you're going to say, oh, you actually need this much in this spot. And really, it's just false data. Anybody can create a VRT map however you look at it, but it's artificial if the soil samples were taken incorrectly. So the way we looked at it, we said, okay, we boiled things down, me and my brothers, as we are on the farm, we just boiled this thing down. It's like, in order to take accurate soil cores, we got to make sure to create really dependable fertility maps, I should say, we need to take really good, accurate soil cores. And we need to go back to the same spot within a few inches year after year. And that's the fundamental place to start. So, okay, now we got to build a robot that drives itself, not with a human on the steering wheel. But the machine has to drive itself in order to achieve locational accuracy. And then we got to develop an extraction system that's better than a typical hand probe or a typical automatic machinery with a probe that's going to actually say, when we go down 6 inches deep, because that's what the farmer prescribed, we are going to actually extract six inches of soil. Because just because you push a probe 6 inches in the ground, it does not guarantee that 6 inches get extracted from the ground. There's a lot of reasons that could prevent the soil extraction part of it to fail, even though you got your depth right. And so that's what those are the two issues that were combined with this job is one of the least favorite jobs on the farm. Soil sampling is the job that the intern gets put on at a retailer, okay? And
that's right.
So we have the lowest paid people on this job, and it's one of the most important jobs. This soil sample that a person puts in a bag is literally you know, it's the financial advisor for a farmer on the month, on how he spends his $75 an acre per year on his farm, on his dry fertilizers. So it's a big deal. Like, we kind of degrade it because it's such a hard job, but it's a big deal. And so there's a big labor shortage. And so we basically combined a machine and a system. It's a whole system. We're saying, okay, this machine is going to drive itself, it's going to take really good soil cores, and it's going to make the job super easy and fun for, so we can actually hire good people and scale the business and provide this technology to more and more people. Because the market isn't necessarily wasn't right away ready for a robot to do the soil sampling, either because of capital expenditures, or they already don't have enough people even to run a robot, or robots are not really legislated very good. There's kind of the Wild West. So we're able to actually build a business by offering as a service to farmers, by creating this whole system, saying we can hire people easier, and they're going to do a better job, and we're going to basically bring ultra accountability and Six Sigma to soil sampling. So
that's great. So tell us what all this. Tell us about your robot. What does it do? How does it look like? Just describe the system to us for those that aren't familiar. This is state of the art, cutting edge. So, just walk us through the process, start to finish.
A Rogo rig, it would be a foil drive camper van, and pulling a trailer with the robot on These guys, our operators, are basically living in this van for 3 to 4 days at a time, because that allows us to get more working hours and be more efficient. And so that's completely that's flipping the industry on its head on how we do things. But that's how we do it. And then on the robot, we have 4 fully autonomous robots, and we have like 9 semi-autonomous robots. And the only difference is that on the fully autonomous ones, it's literally just a machine. You drop off at the edge of the field, and you load the map in, and you hit go. And that thing takes, it's like a size of a really small high-speed skid steer. And it takes off, and it's just taking soil samples and booking it down the field, bagging them up, scan the barcodes on the fly, and then it returns back to the trailer whenever it's down to the field. And the operator is essentially just on a four-wheeler. He can maybe take boundaries of the field while he's waiting, or he can go scout the field and put unsafe zones and stuff in the field that we didn't catch with, you know, the previous map makers looking at satellite imagery. And then the semi-autonomous ones, they are, the person is, it's like on a Kubota, like a side-by-side type style machine, and it's got the same extraction system, still drives itself around, but they're just sitting inside. That's all they do. They unload it from a trailer, they sit inside, they hit a button, it says go, and they and it takes off and starts taking soil samples. And since the person is sitting inside, when the soil gets dumped to the bag, they roll it up and it gets scanned, and they put it in the box beside them, so the job is very easy and simple. And we're allowed to cut down on the cost. But to be, I'm a very transparent person to the marketplace, but if you see a Rogo rig out sitting on the edge of a field, you're most likely going to see the semi-autonomous robot, because again, I'm a solutions oriented company around fertility management. I don't care about robots for robots' sake unless we're solving a problem. But I am making more money as a company. I'm making more money as a company with semi-autonomous robots simply because those guys can hop fence rows and switch fields faster than the fully autonomous robots. It's super fascinating. But, you know, we're logging downtime, switching time, transportation time, productivity time on these operators and robots every day, and you would see that the fully autonomous robots have more switching time than the semi-autonomous ones, and that's the biggest mover to getting, 600 acres done in a day as opposed to 400 acres done today. So,
wow. But the fully autonomous one actually bags a sample, scans a barcode. Does it geo-reference where that sample was taken as well?
Yeah. Yep. And it was already geo-referenced. It just hit the target exact right on the money. And then it logs that back to the database, so that whenever at the end of the day, the Rogo operator, you know, he's going to have a van full of soil boxes. Every night he's going to ship soil off or put them on a drop-off location, so it gets to the lab as soon as possible. because we are all about getting there within, you know, nothing, none of this matters if we can't take care of people logistically, which means we got to get to the fields fast before, after the combine gets off the field, and before a ripper gets on there, or before, you know, so they have time to spread the field. And they ship the soil every night, and they, you know, the labs will receive all these bags of soil with barcodes on them, and then all that data gets tied back to the, if I'm working for a Helena dealer, he is going to have essentially an API connection with his software to his lab, and all that stuff marries together, so all that data flows back from the lab to his software automatically. So he gets a notification that we dropped the soil off and it's been shipped to the lab, and then it's just going to populate in his software the new soil test results. Recommendations will be made, and he'll create a spread rec for his MAP or potash or lime, and they'll get a spread right away, and the fertilizer then, the farmer then has a service that is high visibility, executed swiftly, you know, a lot of insight, high quality control, and it's done. He doesn't have to worry about it. So
that's great. So you guys don't have to actually deal with the soil results. Those all go right to whoever is hiring you to take the samples. So that really streamlines everything and can put those prescriptions together real time.
Yeah, I mean, we do both. I mean, we can write prescriptions for a farmer if we want to.
Oh, okay.
But we pride ourselves in the soil collection, and the retailers have been taking on our business quite a bit. And it's been, you know, if farmers want soil sampling, it's been a lot of this has happened. A farmer will be like, hey, I want this technology. I want this problem solved, but I'm working with my nutrient dealer, and I really like them. And I'll be like, great, let's just work with them. We'll just plug and play. We insert ourselves in the least invasive way possible. The farmer gets his service done, still continues working with his nutrient dealer if that's what he desires. And Rogo does the soil sampling, and the problem's taken care of. So we like to be really flexible as a company.
That's just so cool, because that's just not – it's state-of-the-art, something nobody else is doing. And what does Rogo stand for?
So Rogo actually means to ask in Latin. What it means, and the reason why I did this is because back in 2017, me and my co-founder Drew Schumacher traveled the country and made interviews with people, and I am a big proponent when it comes to entrepreneurship. I'm a big proponent of making sure you're solving a problem that actually exists, because I think in ag tech specifically, there's more solutions than there are problems, and we really got to make sure we're solving problems that really move the needle, in my mind. So I traveled the country, and I'd ask questions, and I would not tell them what I'm trying to do and what I'm trying to accomplish, because I don't like when people tell me what I want to hear. I want to expose truth, even if it isn't something I don't like. And when I travel the country, we just ask questions. I'd be like, hey, you know what? How deep do you want this field sampled? And I'd draw a field on a piece of paper, and he'd be like, we want 6 inches deep. I was like, what if I came back to you and I told you I sampled that field 8 inches deep because I just misunderstood you? Or the client before me was at 6 inches deep or 8 inches deep, and I forgot to switch up my protocols, my hand probe or my Wintex or something. And I realized that there are big problems in the industry that were not getting solved, but the industry cared. The industry cared to solve them, but it was incapable of providing tangible and real accountability beyond a protocol that was stuffed into a desk drawer, because they didn't have the tools available to them to go beyond that. And now we're going to, here's a robot. This is what actually happened. This is exactly how your field was sampled. Here's where we hit a rock. Here's where every core was taken. Now here's where, not just the sample site. This is where every core was taken. All 8 cores that go into that same bag. This is where every core was taken. And this isn't what we hope we got accomplished. This is what actually happened. And print off report cards and insights to farmers saying, this is data you can trust. Because on my planting systems, I got so much accountability. On my harvesting systems, I got so much accountability. On how we spray fungicide and chemicals, we got so much accountability. But my third highest cost is fertility management, and I had zero accountability. It was lost in the ether. I say, hey, this field needs to be sampled. And between then and fertilizer getting spread, there was no insight in the process. And, you know, and the whole foundation of that is how somebody takes a good soil sample. We spend $8 an acre every 4 years to soil sample my field, and I'm spending $75 an acre every year. That means on my farm, you know, for a farm 4,000 acres, I'm spending $400,000 almost $300,000 to $400,000 on fertility. And I'm spending $8 an acre every 4 years, so $2 an acre every year. So $8,000 to really make sure that that $300,000 is being held accountable and going to the right spot of the field. It was just, it's a peanut problem to solve. You know, it's like Rogo operators, you know, to have a robot sample your field is typically $1 an acre more. We're talking the cost of a blown cultivator tire just to hold a $300,000 bill more accountable and trust it more.
Just to get more statistically significant data that's true information off of each acre. Wow.
And, you know, let me say one more thing, Adam. This is I'm very passionate about this because I believe I like surrounding myself with people who really critically think. When I ask people, I was like, you know what? What if I draw a field out and it has 9 samples on it? It'll say it's a 40-acre field or something. It's got 9 samples on it. I draw, you know, here's a different soil type over here. I was like, what if I was Joey, your soil sampler? You know, I'm a college intern or whatever. I came back and I said, mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? What if these 3 of the 9 samples, you know, 4, 7, and 9, samples 4, 7, and 9, what if I came back to you and I told you, hey, I know you want this whole field sample 8 inches deep. Man, this area of the field, it was just a dry clay knob. It was just difficult to get that probe in the ground. I probably had an average core depth 6 inches deep in that area. And there was not one person who had authority in the space who knew what they're talking about would say that is acceptable. But my realization, as I did testing on my own farm, and I was like, you know what, guys? There's a certain percentage of samples that are out of spec like that. If sample number 9 is 6 inches deep and sample number 8 is at 8 inches deep, the field could be exactly the same in reality, but the VRT map is going to show that you need to spread more fertilizer in the 6 inches deep one. And that's not that's horrendous to me.
It's not true.
And it just defeats the whole purpose of why I'm doing it. And so yep. I just wanted to come to the industry and be like, let's flip this thing on its head and let's look at how we can solve these problems and bring real accountability to it. We want to make sure every
man, Troy,
right in spec.
Yeah, this has been great. Time has flown by. How can guys that are interested in getting hold of you do so?
Go to www.rogoag.com. You can see the contact us page. Call our number at 765-204-1070, or you can contact our Facebook page. Give me a call at 260-273-9645. You can stop by Feed Your Brothers Ag there in Keystone, Indiana. You know, and give us a call. That's where we build all these robots in our farm shop, and multiple ways to get in contact. RogoAg.com. Look us up. Get a hold of us.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited. This is cool. We're gonna reach out to you and try to do another program just specifically about what you do and your robots. So,
all right, great.
We really appreciate your time today, and hopefully some folks will reach out to you. Alrighty, well, thank you very much, Troy. I think we're going to take a quick break,